الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديث نمبر 163 of the book of عمدة الأحكام is حديث of Samurah ibn Jundub, may Allah be pleased with him. He says that I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over a woman who had died in the state of delivery, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood up to say prayer in front of the middle part of her body. The significance of this hadith is that we learn from it the sunnah, where to stand when we pray over a dead woman. And of course, this is only for the imam, because the congregation, they cannot all pray at the same position. And the sunnah tells us that when you pray as an imam and the deceased is a man, you pray next to his head. So the head will be here, I'll be standing, and the rest of the body is likewise. But if I'm praying over a woman, then I should do as the Prophet did alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is to stand next to her waist. Why? Some scholars said that this is so that I would be covering her body with mine, so that the people would not look at her. But this is not so strong, and we only follow the sunnah without looking for any justifications or any reasons, because this is the reality of submission. You follow without asking any questions, as long as the hadith is authentic and this is what the Prophet did alayhi salatu wasalam. It would not add any value to me to know why he did this. Maybe it would make me feel better, but as stated before, it is very dangerous to go and looking for a justification for every single thing, because I may succeed in finding a justification for 80%, 90%, or maybe 95%. The remaining 5% that are authentic and part of the deen, and I fail to find justification for them, shaitan will come and make me reject them, as it happened with a lot of the people. What about if they are men and women? How do I offer funeral prayer? Should I offer one for each, or combine all of them in one prayer? We should combine all of them in one prayer. And how would they be? It would be the men first and the women afterwards. So the imam would stand, we put all the men between him and the Qibla, and after that we put the bodies of the women. Now, it goes without saying that when you pray funeral prayer, you should have sincerity, and you should try your best to make as much as dua as possible, because this is what funeral prayer for. This is what it is for. For what? For supplicating and asking Allah's forgiveness for the deceased. Because you would be interceding, you would be asking Allah to accept your intercession. So you have to, as much as possible, offer a lot of dua for him, as much as the time allows you to do this. Hadith number 164, Muhammad Aman.
Abu Musa radhiyallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no concern with that woman who wails loudly, shaves her hair, and tears her garment in grief.
The second hadith as well.
Narrated by Abdullah radhiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who slaps his cheeks, tears his clothes, and follows the way and tradition of the days of ignorance is not one of us."
Now, these two hadiths, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the first hadith says, "I have no concern." One would find it difficult to translate the word bari, because in Arabic bari means innocent. And the Prophet says, I am innocent from those who do these things. But this is not the accurate translation. And I have no concern. Also, this is not quite strong enough. So how do we translate it to? Ana bari means that I have nothing to do with those who do this. So as if I'm disowning them. And this is the actual thing. The Prophet is disowning those who do these things. What are they? Well, those who wail loudly or shave their hair and tear their garment. So is crying permissible for the deceased, over the deceased or not? Crying is permissible. Did the Prophet cry alayhi salatu wasalam? Yes, he did. And he told Abdurrahman ibn Auf or Sa'd ibn Malik, that is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with them, when they objected, he said that this is mercy from Allah. So crying by itself is not forbidden. What is forbidden is to wail, to start and raise your voice, claiming that this deceased is the only supporter, the only provider. What will I do? I'm at lost without you. All of this is forbidden. Now, having said that, there is an authentic hadith that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the deceased is being tortured by his family's weeping and crying. This is an authentic hadith. The deceased is being tortured by the wailing. Well, actually, not wailing. Wailing is forbidden. By the crying and weeping of his loved ones, of his family. And this hadith, scholars disputed upon, to the extent that Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, rejected it and said, how can it be when Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, that one will not carry the burden of others. So if I'm dead and someone cries, why would I be tortured with that? So scholars had given a number of interpretations. Among the interpretations was that those who instruct their families to wail and weep upon them after their death, they are the ones who will be tortured because of this instruction. And others say, no, it is not this. It is those who know that his wife and daughters would do this, yet he does not command them not to do it. He didn't order them. He didn't ask them actually to do it, but he knows. The minute I die, they're going to do this and that and start wailing. And so he's considered to be tortured. And the third opinion, which is the most authentic, and this is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, he said, being tortured in your grave because of the weeping and crying of your family is not a punishment. How is that? Isn't torturing a part of being punished? He said, no. The other hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, traveling is a piece of azab, is a piece of torment. So when I travel, is someone punishing me? The Prophet said, it's a piece of torment, of being tortured. So when I travel, is someone actually doing this to me? They said, no, but it comes as a package. When you travel, you're homesick, you're in a strange country, things differ. Maybe you get the flu because of the change of the climate. You have a lot of hardship when traveling. All of this goes when you return to your home. So likewise, when a person dies and his family cries and weeps over him, he is tormented. Why? Because he loves them, not because Allah is punishing him. So by this, you understand how the scholars interpret and explain the different hadiths of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we're not talking about just simply crying. We're talking about wailing and shouting and making a scene out of it. The Prophet says, I've got nothing to do with those. They do not belong to me and I do not belong to them. Likewise, those who pull their hair or tear their clothes. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that also this is not part of me. And the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is part of the traditions and ways of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era, before Islam, that they used to slap their faces. And this continues until today. Unfortunately, this continues until today among the Muslims worldwide. You would not be exaggerating to say that this is human nature, that people grieve in any sense that is similar to that. Even men, when they grieve, some men would bang their head in the wall. Some men would probably break the window or smash the desk out of anger and grief. And all of this is a manifestation of the lack of trust in Allah. Because those who do this are complaining on Allah's decree. What does the believer do when a calamity strikes? They say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. So when you say this, you feel that the calamity is gone. And not only that, Allah would reward you immensely. But who remembers it? This is a problem. Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, said that when Abu Salama died, I remembered the hadith of the Prophet والسلام, where he said, whoever is struck by a calamity and says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma jurni fi masibati wa khlufni khayran minha. Few words. We belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. O Allah, reward me in my calamity and substitute me with something better than it. Salama says, when Abu Salama died, my husband, I immediately said this dua. But then after saying it, I said to myself, who can be better than Abu Salama, the companion of the Prophet والسلام, and the brother of the Prophet والسلام. And after her waiting period was over, the Prophet proposed to her in marriage and she became the Prophet's wife and the mother of the believers. And then she said, now I know. Imagine this belief. You say this when someone bangs your car. You say this when something happens at work. You say this when you lose something. But you say it with belief and you say it immediately. Allah will reward you better than it. Because if you don't say it immediately, if you do like so many people do, they wail, they shout, they bang their heads in the wall, they complain, and after 1 week, they say, Alhamdulillah, we're patient and tolerant and we're accepting Allah's. Too late. That's why the Prophet ﷺ once passed by a woman wailing at the grave of her son, her child. The Prophet said, ﷺ, O woman, be patient and anticipate the reward from Allah and fear Allah. What did the woman say? This is what we'll find, inshallah, after the break, so stay tuned.